good, and welcome to the Fred Report technical market call for December 6th, 2018. We're going to get right into it. We'll stay on the call as long as people want, but I know there's some people that want to get off. Obviously, we've had some surprises over the last couple of days, particularly Tuesday's action. What's interesting about this is we've just now generated a daily stochastic sell signal, suggesting the indicators are lagging a little bit. I'm going to give a couple of trading rules real quick, and then we'll get into the market. We've had some questions about stops. Obviously, the market opened through the 267 stop we were talking about. There's a couple things that I would just note here. In these barfy times when the market gaps down and does really nasty stuff, one of the rules that has worked for me is that the market usually, if the day is going to be up and things are going to start to recover, the market low usually is hit by 10 to 10:15. And if you look at the 5-minute chart on the spider, we basically hit the low right around 10 in the morning. Exceeding that low on the downside suggests down into the close and more downside. So far, we're holding up. Now, in order to make the market look reasonably positive for the day, we've got to start making new highs for the day here. Okay, so let's see how that goes. The second thing is, in terms of stops, one of the concerns I have and you see is everyone is probably looking at the same thing, i.e., the October lows and the February lows. So I've come up with something else to look at that makes some sense. Watch IYT, the transports. They should lead the market out of here if the market is going to do reasonably well. So watch IYT and note that below 180 to 176 would suggest the market should be lower into the end of the year. Right now we're holding and making new highs on the day on the transport. So let's watch that, use that as our stop loss. In terms of some other things, it now looks like the monthly could recycle. It's halfway down. A few more weeks of this and the monthly will be down, and we will have a down quarter in December rather than the first quarter of next year, okay? I don't see any need to be a hero here and try to buy the low. We've talked to a lot of guys over the last couple of days that have fairly large cash positions. I don't see any reason to go in and just willy-nilly buy everything because the market's down. I do think that you should invest judiciously. We are investors. We're longer-term investors, and we're paid to invest. So let's follow the indicators, see if there's anything that looks decent, take some gains, take some losses, do the things we normally do in the market. You know, there are some anomalous things going on here. We mentioned in the midweek, the action in the bond market and the transports is very unusual and usually happens when the market's going to get worse. But, you know, in these unusual moves, all sorts of different stuff can happen, okay? So the main thing for me in terms of the equity markets is, do we start taking out the 10 to 10:15 lows later in the day? If we do, the market will likely be down into the close. And watch the transports. Most of us are in models. Most of us are not in danger of being down 50% on the open or whatever. We would still avoid stocks like Apple. You know, Apple is trying to stabilize in here, but Apple generally makes 50% retracements in corrections. I have no interest in Apple at all as a stock until it gets to 160 or until I get a real buy signal on Apple where I see something of interest. And again, this is not bizarre action in Apple. It does this all the time. In my stocks and commodities interview a couple of years ago, we were doing that in Apple. Years ago, before Apple split, we did that in Apple. This is not unusual, okay? It's what it does. Let's take a quick look at the bond market, and then we'll get to Jeff Garbaz and some questions. We're right up at resistance in the 119 to 121 area. In fact, there's a gap at 121. I'm surprised bonds have come up this far. I'm a little bit more surprised at the way they did it on Tuesday, but, you know, here we are, and the main thing also to realize is bonds are acting as a damper on the portfolio. SPLV and some of the low volatility stuff is acting as dampers on the portfolio. So we're going to just let bonds do what they do. I don't think people are that concerned about bonds anyway. In terms of the gold market, GLD is very close to breaking out above 118, 119. If it does that, we should get to our target of 120 to 122 by year end. You know, the weekly stochastic is a little bit overbought, and we need to see some more there, but we're happy with the way that's trading. You know, oil has been down, but basically it's still got some bottoming signs. And again, if the weekly stochastic on oil turns up, that's going to be a good place to go. Right now that stochastic is in the cellar, so we would be just a little bit cautious there. You know, in terms of XLE and the gold stocks, they're still holding support and trading really well, and there's some good dividend yields there. If people want to own these stocks, they're probably good for the long term. With that, Jeff, any comments you have, and then let's open for questions.
Yeah, Fred, I got a couple questions for you.
Sure.
First question I have is on SPY. So if we look at a daily chart of SPY, it's basically made a triple top and a quasi-double bottom in basically a two-month, or you could make the argument now it's a three-month period. That's very unusual. So what do you make of that?
Well, it's obviously setting up a consolidation range and possibly a W bottom, or it's going to break and continue lower into the end of the year. You know, Jeff, one of the points that you're making is if we went to sleep, you know, let's say we were in a car accident, we were in a coma, you know, in, you know, at the bottom in November, you know, nothing has really changed. It's just the way the market is going that has changed, okay? So, you know, it is unusual. It says that the movement out of this area will be fairly large. And that's really all you can say about it. I'm going to just wait until the daily stochastic recycles, and then I'm going to start to add some money in. But, Jeff, I'm heartened by the action in IYT. Look at how IYT is done. Okay, it's holding on nicely, and there's some fairly good signs there. What I would do, again, if I were one of our clients, is do, you know, what you normally do at this time of year, take some gains, take some losses, and if we have cash, I just hold on to it for a bit. There's no urgent need to put it in this morning.
Okay, cool. So let's go back to SPY again. Triple top, and if we come down to 162.5 today, that would be a triple bottom. Although, you know, I got to agree with you on the action today from a slightly different perspective. You know, Jack and I follow Phil's value lines, which every day tell us the direction of stuff. And one thing that we follow really closely, and I've been doing this now since, call it end of 2011, where I've been charting it, gap ups typically are not like to be bought for the most part, and gap downs are typically not to be sold. And to your point, and you've been writing kind of ad nauseum about this, is this not exactly the type of open that you wanted to see today?
It is. This is exactly what we wanted to see, but we're getting enough questions that, and frankly, the mood is such in the bond market that we think the market should stabilize in here and actually rally into Friday. That would be ideal. Yep. And if we do stabilize in here and we do hold the 260 area, the year-end rally scenario is still basically intact, but it is bruised, okay?
Yep.
So, yeah, this is if we'd seen a big up open, I would have been all over this thing shorting myself as a trader. That would have been a fairly easy maneuver to make. But we didn't. This is what you want to see. And I'm curious, Jeff, did Erlanger's big barf indicator signal any of this, or is this completely out of left field as well for him?
No, it's been, I mean, especially the weekly and the monthly have been pretty negative. One thing that I track is down 1% moves and how predictive the EBB is. In other words, is the EBB below zero before it happens? That kind of goes along with some of the other statistics that we wrote about on Wednesday. And roughly, probably 60% of the time, it is predictive. It is below zero. But a lot of times, down 1% moves, it's not as predictive. So. But yeah, we're negative right now, and we're negative on the weekly, and we're negative on the monthly, which typically is as you're getting towards a bottoming, position in the overall market.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No.
What I was going to say is, yeah, this should, under normal circumstances, be trying to make a bottom in this general area. The thing that has me just a little bit worried is the strange action in the bond market. Okay. When is the last time you saw the market have a down day like it did yesterday and the bond market have a huge gap up?
Yeah, I mean that's typically when you're in really bad periods for stocks.
Yeah, it is. It's indicative of the possibility of a bad period. Now, one of the other things, Jeff, one of my favorite adages, and it does make sense, is that the stock market has picked 9 of the last 3 recessions. Right? The market is saying things are going to get really bad. It said that before, and things don't get really bad. But when you see a little bit of anomalous behavior, you just sort of want to be on your guard. And I think, honestly, guys, on the call, and I might even put a note out about this later on today. But most of the people on the call are on, and they'll get this. We really want to watch the action in the transports. They'll signal whether the market thinks we really have a bad time or not. One of the things I do, Jeff, during periods like this that is interesting is I have an Ameritrade account. It's very small. I just buy and sell stuff just at random in there for fun. And I tried to go on there in the morning. Okay, right around the open. Okay, took two or three times to get on, but I got on and was able to execute a transaction for 100 shares or something. Okay, and it went pretty well. So there's no real retail panic here. The other thing I do want to mention, please, guys and ladies, if there's ladies on, do read the article on sentiment that I put out in the monthly. The monthly charts were a little dated when they came out, but that sentiment article is really important and germane to what's going on. When percent bears are low like this, you tend to get the really violent moves. Okay? When bearish sentiment is high, you tend to get the sort of bobbing cork decline. And the reason for that is coming into this week, only 21% of the institutions have sold. Okay, if you look at the institutional money managers and that make up the percent bears poll, and you say that the bears are the only ones that have really liquidated all that they're going to liquidate, and again, bear in mind, every institutional money manager is buying or selling all the time, but he's got a bias in the market just as we do. Okay, only 21% of them are bears. So that means that as more people sell and that number comes up, you can have violent moves. So again, there's nothing really completely different about this. This is not out of left field. And we saw last week the bears number took a big jump from 20 point something to 21 point something. My guess is after this week, that number will take a big jump as well. The only thing that might screw that up is, oddly enough, the poll is generally taken on Wednesdays. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, there may have been people out. But my guess is you're going to see those numbers really start to jump, and that's very healthy if that happens. If it doesn't happen, we'll be a little bit nervous. And what was nice about the last set of numbers is those numbers jumped even as the market went up. And that's what we, I my ideal scenario here, Jeff, would be to see the market rally from here and see those numbers go up anyway, saying, oh my God, next year is going to be terrible. That would be ideal. Jeff, any
Okay,
other questions
so
from you?
Yeah, I do. I got two more and then a comment on something. So there's a pretty good chance then that today could be the low for the rest of the year, correct? Is that a fair
There is a
comment?
chance of that. If we break today's low, there's an excellent chance that it's not.
But if we hold it, then what would you say the odds are, you know, just ballparking it, that this is the low for the year, and from here we can get our move, you know, higher?
I'd say 60-65%.
Yeah, because one thing that's interesting is, so tomorrow we have trading for the week. Next week is the week of the 10th is a normal week. The week of the 17th, and I've mentioned this to you, Fred, is atypical because it's a late expiration, so we could have volatility that week. Then the following week, Christmas occurs on a Tuesday, so nothing will happen Monday. Then you got 3 trading days, and then the following week you have Monday and you're done for the year. So
Yeah.
we don't have as many trading days left in the year as you typically have at this type of year, at this time of year, because of how the calendar fell and that we started December on a Saturday.
Right.
So that's just a comment for everyone to understand. So other thing is Russell looks really bad. And the Russell is very close to taking out its November low. It did on an intraday basis, but now it's kind of back above it. Do we, how, you know, how much does the Russell IWM need to hold like 145 today? And if you were really aggressive, and we hold 145, would you be a buyer of the Russell here, like using a stop, maybe like a dollar lower at 144? Forgetting the bounce like we could potentially get on the Russell.
You know, Jeff, I think that one of the big concerns here, and it seems to be reasonably valid, is, you know, global growth is probably going to slow for the first 6 months of the year. We've been thinking, and we talked to my old boss, Bob Robbins, who's very, very good at this. Some of the old Robinson, Humphrey Smith, Barney guys will remember Bob. You know, the possibility of what Bob always called a growth recession is here. And by that, what we mean is 1 quarter of slightly negative economic growth and then 2 quarters of flat to up economic growth before we accelerate. In that environment, when that happened in 94, when they were raising interest rates, small cap vastly underperformed large. So we're sticking with RSP, DIA, and SPY over the Russell. I don't think there's any need to buy the Russell. Obviously, that could change, but looking out into next year, that's not an area that I'm wildly interested in.
Okay, so this is just a comment for people. So clearly, a lot of this morning is due to the Huawei CFO being arrested last Saturday night and it not coming out until yesterday afternoon. One thing that may tip the hand of the Chinese very well, and Jack and I work with an analyst, and if anyone's got interest, you know, in them, you know, get back through Fred. But Ted Moreau, who runs Terrace Research, he noted this morning that the merger between Lumentum, which is LITE, and Oclaro, OCLR, Oclaro is spelled OCLARO, was approved by the People's Republic of China State Administration for Market Regulation. So if they look, they approved it this morning. They knew what happened to the Huawei CFO, and it's amazing that that no one has picked that up yet. That once it gets figured out into the market, and it was announced at 8:12 this morning, but really no one's commented on it. That could be a catalyst for turning around a lot of the tech stuff. So just a comment for people. If anyone needs more info on that, feel free to get back to Fred or me or Jack on that.
Yeah,
Fred,
and
that's
Jeff,
it.
one other thing, and then we will open for questions. Note that FXI is actually holding its short-term uptrend. The Chinese market is actually acting better than ours in some respect right now. So,
Oh, yeah.
yeah, it's
I was
worth
going to say
noting
that.
that whatever is going on over there with these weird Chinese things, that the Chinese market seems to be doing, you know, a little bit better than you would have expected. Let's open for questions, Jeff. I imagine people are waiting on calls for clients. People are probably going to want to talk to clients. So let's have some questions from people if we have them. I know this is a very busy morning for people.
Hey,
Question?
Fred, Scott.
Scott, how are you?
Living the dream, thanks. Couple of observations, and maybe you could comment on any of them. Tuesday was, you know, an over 90% down day. We had the highest trend since April. This morning we closed, I think, the last gap. Ralph Acampura, by the way, had, as of this morning, said year-end rally is off the table. And all these things, all these pegs are lining up here for I promise I'm coming to something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with what the bonds are doing, you know, this waterfall decline in yields, take a look at the utilities today.
Yeah.
So to what Jeff was just talking about in terms of the Chinese knew about this Huawei thing when they were sitting around that dinner table, I would certainly imagine. And yet everybody's hair's on fire, you know, regarding this is creating, you know, a guaranteed trade spiral. But it just doesn't add up to me. And I know the bonds are a big conundrum for everybody here, but, you know, given the selling exhaustion that we see with the, you know, with the Tran, et cetera, and the 90% down days, et cetera, it seems like the only missing ingredient is your sentiment.
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
That is, and, you know, Scott, I don't mean to be dogmatic here with regard to sentiment, but I have seen other instances where things like AAII that people are quoting and Market Vane and all that are very, very negative, and my indicator with Investors Intelligence is not, and the market follows my indicator and not everyone else's. So I want to see my indicator start to go up, and I think it should. I agree with you, Scott. I think that you're seeing a number of signs of capitulation. The only things that really just make me think about that is, first of all, Apple needs to get to 160. If Apple can get to 160 and the market can hold and go up here, and that has happened before, by the way, in the 50% retracements on Apple in prior times, you can go back and look at them, the market has done okay. And second of all, I'd like to see something happen where these bonds stop acting so weird. And Scott, I agree with you. I think that, you know, the market is saying that we could see some slowing next year. Where we're really going to see that in the trading action is the transports. You sent a note asking about stops, and obviously the 10 to 10-15 rule is in place for the S&P. But as PMs, we should be watching something that no one else is watching, and I think that's the transports. Okay, we might be seeing some, you know, retail action here, people switching out of mutual funds and stuff like that, that is actually unwarranted. You know, markets tend to overshoot on the upside, tend to overshoot on the downside. But the transports, I venture to say that I am the only person this morning saying, watch the transports to see what's going on. And again, Scott, I think your other point, and forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth, is, you know, one of my favorite sort of kids nursery rhyme things is, he jumped on his horse and rode off in all directions, right? We want to be level-headed here and, you know, invest in stuff that looks like it's worth investing in, and just realize we don't have to be heroes here. We don't have to buy the low. We can see the market stabilize, and if it starts to go up, I think we could see a nice year-end rally. Some of the anecdotal sentiment things are in position for that. Anything else, Scott?
No, I was wrong about the last gap. Obviously, there's still the gap going down to the low, but no worries on that. I agree with your observation on the transports. The only other comment I would make or question is regarding margin selling, which is, I don't know, somewhere on the afternoon 2 or 2:30 or 3 or something like that. Have you seen any margin numbers, or is everybody pretty much washed out of margin?
Well, I have seen margin numbers, Scott. But I tend to discount those numbers, and I'll tell you why. And Scott, you were at Merrill Lynch for a while, so you would certainly understand this. You know, in the days when margin numbers were really important, you couldn't margin your house, your stock account for a home loan. At Merrill Lynch, you can, right?
Right.
That wasn't possible in the 50s and 60s. That was illegal, right? Those rules came about, the original rules about being illegal came about because of the Depression, right, and too much leverage in the system. But that changed when Citigroup bought, when Citibank bought, you know, Smith Barney, basically, right, and created Citigroup. There's been a lot of changes. So I tend to discount those numbers. That is an excellent question and a good indicator. Steve Suttmeyer, my old buddy and hire at Merrill Lynch, mentioned that in some stuff. But I don't, I've never thought it has the same effect because things are differently margined.
Appreciate it.
Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
Doing great, man. Thank you for all the work that you do during these crazy times. And I just pulled up a chart for fun on the 10-year Treasury note, and it looked like a breakout to me. It looked actually really good. The chart, daily, yeah, weekly, and the monthly, all looked like it was a breakout above the main new highs. And then I pulled up IEF. And if you could pull IEF and give your comments on that, because that looks like a very strong chart if I'm looking at it just as a stock. Can you make some comments on that?
Yeah. You know, that looks like, and again, in the absence of all this weird stuff going on, what you have on IEF is you have a weekly stochastic buy signal, and it's working. It's going up. It's going up into resistance, and the stochastic is almost overbought. And when it turns down, unless this IEF gets above 103.50 to 104, there's an excellent chance it'll make new lows. Because it, mm-hmm, you know, it's basically a pattern of higher of lower highs and lower lows here. So, you know, if this works, you know, the way it should, we should be about in position to see these bonds turn around and go back down.
Okay.
And go back up a little bit. Now, the other thing, Barrett, and this is something we want to make clear of, and we're going to sound a little stupid here because we've been talking about this, and this bond move seems to obviate what we're talking about, but realize that we've been talking about TLT getting to 105 or so for a couple of years now. We started talking about it too early, but we're in striking distance of 105, guys. We could see that, and then rates should stabilize. And my understanding of what Powell has said is rates are at the lower end of the neutral range, and basically they should stabilize. And so my guess is you will see them stabilize. One other thing I'll mention very quickly, you know, Rich Bernstein and the guys that I worked with at Merrill Lynch during the last yield curve inversion were very quick to point out that after the yield curve inverts, you could have a recession, you know, in up to 2 years, right? 2 years is a long time for us. I think the market is overreacting to the possibility of a yield curve inversion, and Jeff may want to chime in on this later, but you know, this is the inversion that we've seen is not the most severe inversion. I think, you know, some of this is just pure psychology in the market trading, real weird. And you know, in cases like that, sometimes you just have to, you know, use your head but get out of the way. That's all I'm saying. That's what we have to say here.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting chart, though, that it looked like it was all, you know, making a new high, at least 6 month high.
Yeah.
On IEM.
Yeah, and that certainly is a good place to hide. If people are hiding, that's one of the places they're hiding, I'm sure.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Sure. Other questions? Oh, and that, by the way, Barrett, that would be one of the places that the institutions that are part of that percent bears number would hide. That's what those guys do. It's not necessarily what retail people do, but that is what those guys do. That's a sign that those numbers are going to go up. Any other questions?
Hi, Fred. It's
just a stock question on
first guy. Sorry.
Fred, it's Justin. Can you look at Diageo, Delta, Echo, Oscar?
Surely. And again, we're going to do a chart book over the weekend. Charting right now is going to be a little strange because we could, again, just see some strange action. Justin, I think that's going to probably go and fill the gap around 140 or to 138. There's two gaps there. Now, this is foreign, and that may be why the gaps are there. It doesn't look terrible. This is one I would not be as inclined to sell.
Okay. And then one more stock. It's OLED, Oscar, Lima, Echo, Delta.
Yeah, Universal Display. That is
Yeah.
holding on decently, but if that starts going much below 90, you should hit 80 on it.
Okay. And then from what you're talking about this morning, good call, by the way. The low at around 10 o'clock was around 264.60 or 65, is that right?
I think that's
Two
about
sixty four
right.
sixty
I'm gonna
two.
have to look and see exactly. The low occurred at 9:55 at
Yeah.
264.65.
Okay. So
And
you're
it's all
saying if it's
below that, we
go
cruise
ahead.
straight down into the end of the day. That's the risk.
Okay, and straight down the next
In other words,
big stop, is that around
if you're trading
257?
and you go short, you go
Yeah.
short below that low, and you have the chance of making a pile of money by the end of the day.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Take care.
Yeah. Hi, Fred.
Hey,
This is
Fred.
Mark.
Mark.
Fred, this is Mark. Yeah, I got two questions. First one's
Sure.
on IRTC. That's iRhythm Technologies.
Right.
It's been a really strong stock, kind of looking for a point to get back in. But what does that look like to you for that?
I would start to get back into that at least now, at 68, 67. And the other thing I would look at, and again, guys, you don't want to sound like an idiot here because everything's doing all these weird movements. But the other thing to do is to wait for the daily stochastic to recycle, go down below 20 and above 20, right? And if you look at this, ever since September, this has been obeying the stochastics rather nicely, and it's a downtrend. So, for me,
Okay.
if I were to buy it at 68, I would also wait to really increase my position, either if it starts trading up a lot or when that daily stochastic recycles.
Okay. And then second question is on bank loans. You could look at maybe BKLN, and when those start to get hit, when this bond market goes the other way or perceptions of the economy go down, they get cremated. Trying to avoid that because I have a lot of bank loans on the books. Any thoughts on that? And would you use BKLN for that to look at that? Do you know?
BKLN, and there's some actively managed funds, but BKLN much below here, and I would switch at least some of that money into the short-term treasuries. Just because I think
Okay.
bank loans are probably going to end up fine, just as the economy could end up fine, but you could see, what seems to be going on is bizarre reactions on the part of the market to things, right? Certainly, this kind of worry in the market with unemployment where it is and where the market, where the economy has basically been in terms of economic numbers, is peculiar. I mean, I think everyone on the call would agree that this is kind of peculiar, right? So you got to get out of the way if something starts to really act poorly. That's a given. Because there's a lot of people that could flip out here. There have been numerous instances where the market has had a big drop and then nothing really happens and it goes back up.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Sure. Other questions?
Hey, Fred.
Yes.
This is BJ in Alpharetta.
Hey, BJ, how are
So,
you?
good, good. So, what do you think as far as the Brett McClelland oscillator? What's your thoughts on that?
That's come down nicely. I want to see it stabilize and again turn up, but it is in a region where it could certainly and should stabilize. And the last big signal from the McClelland still was new highs and 2-year highs, and a sign that this is actually going to work out fairly well. Right?
Okay, great.
So you have to go with that. My Fred's breadth oscillator weekly, it was in the monthly, that is making new lows, new highs, new lows. I'm dying to see on Friday, but those did not reflect the rally at all from the bottom in November, that 260 area that we've been talking about. and that's a big negative. We got to see those new lows start to fall off.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks.
Got it.
Hey, Fred, it's Rob.
Rob, how are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Doing okay. I mean, this is always a stressful time for me, mostly because the people calling me are stressed.
Well, there's that, plus it's getting towards the end of the year, so we all like to just sit back in a rally, but
yeah, I'd like to sit around and not do much of anything. I'm afraid that may not be in the cards for me.
Exactly. Two stocks and then a possible ETF switch, Boeing and Kellogg, B-A-N-K.
Okay. Boeing looks to me like it's going back to 306 to 297 without any problem at all. And Kellogg, I'm surprised at the weakness in Kellogg, but let's have a quick look. That probably 58 or so, and then we see it stabilize above that, May low that it made.
And on the REIT side, KBWY, would you take that and switch it into ICF? Is it ICF? Hold on here.
IYR is the one that's the main.
IYR. I meant IYR.
Yeah, and the answer is I'd switch some of it. I like KBWY, but if there is economic fear, KBWY, because it's smaller cap REITs, may have more trouble.
Actually, I did mean ICF.
ICF. Okay, let me look at that. Because I haven't looked at ICF. Yeah, I could do ICF as well. IYR, ICF are both bigger cap, looking decent.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Got it. Other questions? Very well, then let's say going once.
Hey, Fred, Jeff, I got another one for you real quick.
So
TLT today, if you can't get back above 119, you can kind of see how it broke above that in June. It came down and tested middle part of June. It came down late July and August, was around it, got back above it, came back to it in September, broke it. Now it's gotten back up to it again. Seems like that 119 level is a big line in the sand. If you were long treasuries, knowing what you know now and thinking about 105, would you be taking profits today on treasuries?
Yeah, but I would wait and see how the market does a little bit here. It looks like we will try to challenge, break that 10-15 low, and then the gap that Scott pointed out around 263.07, if that goes, I would hold on to treasuries.
Okay. And are we going to be doing a tax bounce list? Because it could be a heck of a tax
bounce
list. Yeah,
we are. And Jeff, that's a good point. I do the tax bounce list in the traditional way, which is you buy the list by the end of December for a strong January bounce. Okay? And that one of the reasons, obviously, we haven't come out with it is that the market is acting badly and going down. But we will probably come out with that by the 15th, but the gains in that list, if we get them, unless the market character dramatically changes, will come in January in a relief rally, and in those names in a relief rally. And this may be the only year that the tax bounce list does badly. We've had fairly good luck with those lists, even in difficult markets, but this could be real interesting. I'm looking at things like CHK and NBR, that we've played traditionally, and those are still going down. But, yeah, we will do a tax bounce list. We always do. We'll put a bunch of caveats on that when we come out with it.
So back to SPY for one quick second. So you look at the action since the middle of October. So basically – puked it into October, you made a new low, then you made a lower high, then you made a lower low, then you made basically the same exact high, then you made a higher low, and then you made basically the same high again, although you could make an argument it's basically a little bit lower. And now, if today is the low, then we're making another higher low. So what to typically, how does that type of formation play out where you're making a couple equal highs and then higher lows play out over time? How does that typically play out?
You know, that's a wedge formation, and it, Jeff, those wedges can break either way. The main thing is if we break through that wedge, we're liable to have a fairly large move.
Okay.
And it's very hard to predict.
Back to your comments about the bond market. I noticed something on Tuesday's action. You know, a lot of people were trying to throw all sorts of rationale on why the market sold off. Some saying that Trump tweeted. Well, Trump tweeted about China around 10 o'clock, and really what it took was exactly at 12 o'clock. That's when the next leg started. We were only down about 1% on Tuesday, and at exactly 12 o'clock, the selling started. So the first comment I would offer up to people is, if you don't pay attention to the intraday action, understand something, which is that the intraday guys that trade, whether it's HFT or Algo, they start programs on the hour all the time. That's their operating pattern of how they do stuff. They always start programs on the hour. So it's always very important to watch how the first couple minutes of an hour trade. The other thing, Fred, is that is exactly the point in time where the 2 crossed the 5 in terms of yield and the 3 crossed the 5 in terms of yield. So it was just basically machine-driven selling off of that. So and very few people have explained it correctly on exactly what happened. So I felt it was a good, Fred, to just offer that color up to everyone.
Yeah. No, that's very good. Thank you.
That's it for me.
Good enough. Any other questions? Hello?
Sorry. Yeah, Fred, I see that we just hit 264.37. Does
yes.
that count as breaking?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah,
we're lower
we
than
could
we were.
We get to that 263 gap. If we don't hold that, we could close the day in the high 250s.
Ooh, okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's frankly, the market's trading like I shouldn't be on here. I should be shorting. But,
yeah.
But I'm not going to trade today. I've got other things I have to do.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. And again, though, watch the transports, which are actually holding above that low. That's, you know, and guys, remember, I'm not the only one that knows that rule. Okay, it's possible they probe for stops and come right back up, but generally it doesn't come right back up. It goes down a bit and then maybe tries to come back up. Jeff's point that this is what we were looking for and that the really important thing is, do we close on or near the high for the day? You know, that's really operative, but you should see a little bit of a downdraft here even before any sort of a rally. Other questions? Very well. Going once, going twice. This will end the Fred Report Technical Markets Call for December 6, 2018.